Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to Shane Beattie. It is Wednesday, the 23rd of April at 6:31. Coming up in today's show, we'll be talking to DID Electrical, and we'll be chatting to the former boss of Waitrose and the former UK Trade Minister, and all the markets as usual, including the news overnight that Elon Musk is to return to Tesla. You can email us on business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites. Donal O'Donovan in the Irish Independent reports that the Irish conglomerate DCC has announced the sale of its healthcare arm in a deal valuing the division at £1.05 billion or €1.22 billion. The London-listed but Dublin-headquartered business will sell the arm to Healthco Investment, a subsidiary of Invest Industrial Advisors. DCC shares in London fell yesterday morning after the disposal was announced before recovering later on. And that was in contrast to December when the sale plan was first announced. Shares shot up by 15% in a matter of hours. The sale price is lower than analysts had anticipated, well below the £1.6 billion that Goodbody had estimated for the business. Conall Thomas in the Business Post reports that a further €250 million was added to the exchequer this month due to the liquidation of Irish Bank Resolution Corporation, bringing the total loan portfolio down to just €3 billion. The special liquidation of the IBRC commenced over 10 years ago, involving a loan portfolio with a par value of €21 billion, consisting of over 15,000 borrower groups across 22 countries. Since then, approximately €1.7 billion has been paid by IBRC to state agencies through the unsecured dividend payment process. The remaining IBRC loan book at the start of January had a par value of €3.1 billion. And according to the 11th Progress Update report, which covered the period January 23 to this year, a total of €110 million was transferred to the Exchequer during that period, with a further €250 million returned last week. Irish Times reports that Marks & Spencer has emailed customers in Ireland apologising for a cyber incident that affected some contactless payments and click-and-collect orders after the bank holiday weekend. The email said the retailer was working hard to resolve the issue and stressed that neither customers nor staff need to do anything as their data had not been compromised. However, people were warned they could face delays to their click-and-collect orders as a result of the incident. Now the time is 6:33. I know it's very early and most of you aren't even at work yet, but are you happy in your workplace, or is it something you dread most days? My next guest has one hell of a CV and has just written a book called Happy Economics: Why the Happiest Workplaces Are the Most Successful. But is he on to something, or is cash still the main driver when it comes to where we want to work? Mark Price used to be the boss of Waitrose Supermarkets before being elevated to the House of Lords and becoming the UK's Trade Minister, and now he's the author. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Joe. Lovely to speak to you.
Indeed. Let's start with workplaces. You've known a few stressful ones in the past. What makes for the ideal workplace?
Well, I was really lucky, Joe, actually, because when I started with John Lewis back in 1982, I really am that old, on the very first day I was told by the then managing director that the supreme purpose of the John Lewis partnership was the happiness of the people that work there. And he had this really simple idea, the guy that founded the business, that if your people are happy, they'll stay around longer, you'll have lower staff turnover, you'll have lower sick absence. Because of that, costs of recruitment will be lower, training costs will be lower, customers will get better service. So for 40 years now, I've been thinking about happiness at work and what really makes people happy at work. And as you say, I've just put that into the book. So by and large, I have to say I've been really lucky in my working life for the vast majority of it. I worked in a company that ensured the happiness of its people. And then for the last 8 years, I've built a business that helps people be happier at work.
Mm. Isn't it easier, though, Mark, for, you know, the better off and better educated not to have money as the main motive for their jobs? It's not as easy for the less experienced or less well-connected employees to have that motive.
Well, in all of my research and all my time at John Lewis, the most important thing about pay is that people want to feel that they're being paid fairly. So what happens if somebody's working in a shop like in Waitrose, what they don't do is compare their pay to a professional footballer earning £200,000 a week. Mm. What they do is they compare their pay to people who are, in their minds, like them. And that's how people, by and large, judge pay. Is it fair for me against other people who I think are doing a similar job? What's really interesting about pay, and all the research says, if you're paid 10% less than you think you are worth, it niggles away at you all the time. You think, they've got me on the cheap here. But if you're paid 10% more than you think you're worth, funny enough, it doesn't make you work any harder. You don't skip into work. So pay's a really funny thing. It's about getting pay right. There are other things, funny enough, that are bigger drivers of happiness in your job. One of them is your boss. You know, if you've got a good relationship with your boss, I tell you, you're going to have a happy time at work. If you don't have a good relationship with your boss, it's going to be really difficult for you. And in the work that we do, we've got a free happy at work test on our Workall site. And about a million people a year now go and take that test. And what we see there is there's a really clear correlation between people that score the question, I get on well with my manager, highly, and overall scoring highly in the test. And if they score the manager poorly, they score poorly in the test. So yes, of course, pay is important, but there are other things that are just as important. Recognition, being told you're doing a good job, being well informed about your job, being empowered or given the space to go and do your job, thinking that your manager and your business cares about your well-being, feeling proud of the job you're doing and the place that you work, feeling like your career is being developed. You know, all of those things we find in our research are equally is important, if not more important than pay.
Employees have the whip hand right now in a strongish economy. Certainly they do in this country. When the economy turns and the cycle suggests that it eventually will, that situation might change and employers will have the whip hand.
Well, I think it's the wrong way to think of it as employees having the whip hand. I think that every employee should want to be happy at work. If you've got, as you were jokingly saying when we started, there are people going out to work today who aren't very happy, then I think they've really got to think about that, because there are two things that are really positive that you can do if you're unhappy in your work, and there's one thing that's negative. The two positive things are you tackle the issue that's making you unhappy. The second is that you decide you're going to let that go, that there are other things about your job you like, and the thing that's not particularly pleasant that you don't like, you just decide that you're going to forget it and you're going to get on. The really negative thing you can do, Joe, is just to moan about it. You moan when you get up, you moan to your colleagues, you moan to your boss. When you get home from work, you moan to your partner, you moan to your friends down the pub. If you do that, you're not going to be in a good place. So what I would say is that every individual has got the power to decide where they're going to work. Your labour is the most precious gift that you can give to somebody, and it's yours to give or to take away. And that there's lots that you can do to think about, okay, am I happy? If I'm not happy, what am I going to do about it? Mm. Because it's in your hands. It's not in your employer's hands. By and large, it's in your hands. And you know, as you say, you're in a good place with it, or Ireland's in a great place with the economy at the moment. But even when things aren't so great, there are still opportunities. And you know, I'd encourage anybody who's not happy in their job to really think hard about why they're doing it and what they're going to do positively to change that around.
Yeah, I mentioned you were the Trade Minister around the time of the Brexit vote under David Cameron and Theresa May. That must have been a fairly stressful workplace.
Well, it wasn't easy. David Cameron asked me to become the UK Trade Minister 8 days before he called the referendum. And then, of course, was called. Yeah, quite. I campaigned to stay in the EU. I thought that was the best thing for the UK. And then, of course, we left. So I then had to spend more than a year on an aeroplane going around the world, persuading all the countries that we did have trade deals with to remain on the same trade deal with the UK, which I'm really pleased to say that we did. I continued on the EU trade minister meetings and, you know, tried to make sure that our relationships with the EU were the best they could be. I wasn't involved in doing the EU trade deal, but I think it was it was a really difficult time. I mean, for me personally, and I think for the UK.
Yeah. right now, we're in the middle of a global trade war. Is there ever any justification for using huge tariffs to rebalance trade in your nation's favour? I mean, you're a trade minister.
Well, what I learned while I was trade minister is that tariffs, by and large, don't work. And if you look through history, they don't work because it's a tax on your own people. Because it isn't the exporter that pays the tariff, it's the importer that pays the tariff. And then they pass that on to the people who are buying the goods. And the reason you're doing it is you're hoping that by taking that action, a tariff which you think is penal on you in another country is going to be lowered. But the price you're paying to try and help that happen, I think, is extraordinarily high. I think the other thing that you get to learn when you're the trade minister is that for many developing countries in the world, they do have sort of everything but arms, no tariffs, because you want those countries to develop their economies. You want those people in those countries, therefore, you know, to be better off and to become more developed countries. So in the case of the tariffs that were applied on a lot of those, you know, developing countries, they're just not good for their own development. So on so many levels, I really struggle with a concept of increasing tariffs, and certainly to increasing them at the level that they were originally put at.
Yeah, well, sit back. It's going to take a few years to get used to this, I suspect. Thank you, Mark, for joining us. That is Mark Price, Lord Price, the former boss of Waitrose Supermarkets in the UK, former trade minister, and author of Happy Economics: Why the Happiest Workplaces Are the Most Successful.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.